This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
What did Laura mean last night when she said, I haven't slept with him yet? Yet. What does yet mean anyway? It means you're gonna do it, doesn't it? Or does it? Just come on. What would it mean to you, that sentence? I haven't seen Evil Dead 2 yet.
Well, to me it would mean that you're a liar. You've seen it twice. Once with Laura, oops. And once with me and Dick, remember? We had that conversation about the guy making Beretta shotgun ammo off screen in the 14th century.
Right. All right, but let's just say that I hadn't seen it. And I said to you, I haven't seen Evil Dead 2 yet. What would you think?
I'd think that you're a cinematic idiot and I'd feel sorry for you.
All right. But from that one sentence, would you think that I was going to see it?
I'm sorry, Rob, I'm struggling here. You're asking me, what would I think if you told me you hadn't seen a film that you have already seen? What am I supposed to say?
Just listen to me. If I said to you,
I haven't seen Evil Dead 2 yet, yes.
Would you get the impression that I really wanted to see it?
Oh, well, you couldn't have been desperate to see it, otherwise you'd have already gone.
Right, I'm not going to see that movie.
But the word yet... Yeah, you know what? I get the impression that you wanted to see it. Otherwise, you'd have said you didn't want to go.
But in your opinion, would I definitely go?
How the fuck am I supposed to know? Probably.
Why?
Because it's a brilliant film. It's so funny and violent, and the soundtrack kicks fucking ass. I never thought I'd say this, but can I go work now?
Hey everybody, I'm back. This is how I podcast every once in a blue moon. Sometimes a bunch in a row, sometimes really spaced out, really spaced out. But it's because, you know what, I don't get paid for this, so. And I need guests, and it's hard to get guests, and luckily Allison is back.
Yay.
Woo! She's back. I don't know if you remember, if you guys don't know who Allison is, she does a lot of things. She'll tell you in a second. But she was on another episode when we talked about Reality Bites, mm-hmm. So if you want to go back and listen to that one. You could do this one first, and then you go back to the last one. It's a good double feature for you, too, actually. Those two movies fit pretty well together, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough. So, Allison, hi.
Hi, Tiff. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to my house.
It's lovely. I was wondering where I was supposed to be going, because I thought I was going to go back to the other studio, but this is much more calm and serene, actually.
Yeah, I just decided to take it portable.
I love it.
It's hard to always go over to there, and then I figured out how to do it at home, so here we are.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So hi, I'm Allison. I'm a local, I don't know, I do a bunch of different things.
Yes, just like me.
Yeah.
We're the same
and we surf. So
right.
That's most
really
important.
Surfing is all
that's
we need
really
to talk about.
Yeah, that's most important.
Oh, and I should probably say the movie.
Oh
that
yeah.
You right. Wanted to, we didn't say that yet, but go ahead.
Oh, the movie we did was High Fidelity.
Yeah.
From 2000. March 17th, 2000 is when
2000.
It actually was released. Mm-hmm. And I just looked that up and I was like, yeah, I remember where I was at that time. Do you remember where you were?
2000. I think I was
Y2K.
Finishing grad school and about to get married. I think I got married in 2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's right around that time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I was in my second semester of adult life because I had graduated in 99 and I'd moved to Chicago.
Chicago.
So I was living in Chicago and I call it a
Shout
semester because it's
to
the
Stella.
Spring. Yeah.
At She's Loyola
so lucky.
University.
That's a great school.
She
to
just
drive
loves
by it
out
all the
there.
Time.
Oh, mm-hmm. really? Yeah. I was like, are you going to like it here? It's cold.
It's awesome.
Like kind of, but she loves it.
Chicago's an awesome city.
It's cool.
So much fun, and I had the best time there.
So what? Tell me, Chicago. What
so I moved to Chicago because I got a job with my with Ernst & Young.
Is this going back to our last podcast?
So I don't even know what our last one was about because I forget.
Relationships.
Well, yeah, my life is always about relationships.
It's always
but
about relationships.
That was a relationship with myself and my career. I just went. I can't.
Oh,
hear
we
love.
Okay, we had a little bit of a hiccup. The batteries went. I don't know. We're back.
Mercury is not in retrograde yet, but
yeah.
The batteries decided to die.
Technology got us.
It did.
So we've just been chatting as I've been getting this back together. And where are we talking now? Where are we at?
We were talking about recovery.
So this, I was just sharing with you the last two episodes. I did talk a little bit about like, how do I bring a movie to a recovery topic? And I knew that wasn't what we were doing here, because I don't need to do that with everyone, but I thought it might be interesting. But anyway, you were saying about brain health.
Oh, I was talking about brain health. Since I have a traumatic brain injury and it's permanent damage, and going through the past three years of my life, where one of the years I don't remember because I just don't. And your mm-hmm. brain, the way it heals, it takes time for you to even process those emotions. So I have a whole year being numb too. Mm-hmm. And then the past 2 years have kind of been patchy, but that you also lose a sense of like connection to the future, anxiety, whatnot. And like last, I think a couple of weeks ago, I woke up and was like anxious. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be 47 and I don't have a family and I'm single. And oh my God, what happened to the past 3 years? Literally what happened to the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And we were talking about communities and people who can kind of understand your story a bit.
Yes. Yeah.
And I had that with Love Your Brain Foundation, which is out of Vermont. And it's through Simon Pierce's son. He was a snowboarder.
That's okay.
His brother's Kevin Pierce, okay. who started, I think it was Adam Pierce. I don't remember his name.
Look it up, everyone.
Yeah, I know, look
just
it up.
Look
sorry,
up the organization.
I should know, but hey, look, short-term memory doesn't exist too much in my world sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I did a couple trainings with them through their yoga program for TBI specific.
Okay.
And the fact that they understood that I would need to take a break and get off the screen, and things just take that much more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to feel like people got you in some way. Because I think out in the world at large, not everybody gets everybody. No one will.
I can relate. Yes,
yeah.
I relate.
And that's okay. I mean, I do that. I own that. Like, I can only relate. Yeah. We can only relate as far as our own experience to a degree. But it was nice to be seen. And even this happens with my doctor. When I go in and see him, I saw him in January, and I was like, I still have problems with my ears. You know, if a car has a bass that's playing too loud, I have to pull over and let them go by me. I can't drive when the light is out, the sun's out, and there is shadows in the trees, so it makes it look like what's flickering.
Whoa.
That makes me nauseous and sick to this day.
Wow.
And so I still have, those are just two examples. Loud noises bother me, and I had never had these problems. The worst part is going to a restaurant and having to suddenly, you are with people, and then all of a sudden there's a moment, it changes, and I have to put my earplugs in, so I start reading lips. It's frustrating.
Why? It's too much noise?
It's too much noise, and then I can't hear, and then my ears hurt, and then I get a headache later.
So you can't go to a crowded place?
I can go to a crowded place if I'm not trying to talk to anybody.
I don't like a crowded place.
Well, like, I like concerts and things like
that. Oh, concerts.
But I have special earplugs.
Okay, well, that's good.
But as long as I can take breaks and get away from the crowds, I'm okay. But sometimes it's just frustrating when you think you're okay and then you're just...
And then you have to adjust your whole life
yeah.
around this whole other stuff.
And you feel bad for making people...
Don't feel bad.
Bad, do that.
I'm sure it's like, what? I mean, I'm an easy person, I'll tell you that. I don't care. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure people don't know that I think about it so much.
Yeah.
And don't want to put any, be an imposition or like take it personally if I have to leave a party 2 hours early because I know I'm at my limit. The fatigue sometimes would be so much that I would. I remember giving a lesson with Surf and I was like, Laurel, I have to leave or else I'm not going to make it back from the inlet to my house because I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And the heat, all the things. So it's been quite a journey. And then thinking back to where I was when I watched High Fidelity 24 years ago in Chicago and I was starting my adult life pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And you have you literally have no idea what life's going to do to you by the time, like now I'm 46.
Right.
It changes.
So much.
So much.
So
changes.
Much.
And it can change in a minute. Like that feels to me what happened with my life recently.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Like five
in a different way.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, life is, I can't, even for me, like divorce 2 years into that and second divorce, which I never thought would ever happen. And yeah, I don't even know. Like sometimes I'm like, did that happen? Did that life exist?
Mm-hmm.
Like what was all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's gone. And it feels like poof, it's gone.
Exactly.
For real. Cause like everybody's gone. So like, it's the weirdest.
It is strange.
It's really strange.
It's
like,
really strange.
I don't even know. That's like a whole other, it's like there's different stories in my life. You know, that was the chapter of that. And then there's the one before that. And then there's, this is the new one. And I don't know what this one looks like still. It's still kind of new.
It's being written.
Yeah. Yeah. But, okay. So we should talk about the movie.
Should we? I don't know.
I mean, sure. Let's, do you guys want us to talk about it? What do you think? I'm like, let's just talk about it. Yeah. So High Fidelity, hold on. I didn't even,
have my notes.
We actually, it's funny too, because you had a lot of choices.
I did.
Well, I love that you have notes.
I was on, so when I'm driving or when I'm walking and I'm thinking, that's when all of my ideas come. So I think I was driving and I'm like sitting here talking into my car, sending you titles because one would come after the other.
Oh, you kept sending me one.
And I was like, oh, and this one. Oh, and this one.
Yeah, totally. So yeah. This is a good one. You're probably not going to like what I have to say about it.
I wonder if it's similar at all.
I don't know. I have a beef with a couple things in this movie, which is interesting because I think when I saw it the first time, I didn't even have this perspective at all because I was younger. I don't even know if I saw it in that time period. I think I saw it kind of after that. Okay, so High Fidelity, year 2000, directed by Stephen Frears. Interesting. Yeah. It stars John Cusack. Amazing. And it has such a cast. Mm-hmm. We even have Joan Cusack. We got Jack Black. We got Lisa Bonet. Mm-hmm. Lily Taylor, who I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. Do you know who she is? Mm-hmm. Catherine Zeta-Jones. What?
I know.
Like, I was literally like, are you kidding me?
I forgot about her.
Yeah, there's so many people. Tim Robbins.
I know.
Ian. I love Ian. Ian
was so funny.
We all need Ian, really, whatever his deal was. And it's a story of...
Bruce Springsteen even made a cameo.
Yes, holy crap. You weren't kidding.
Oh, yeah.
He really did. Hold on. I want to pull up... I love to see what they write about the story. Like, what's the description here? This is their one sentence. IMDb. Rob, a record store owner and compulsive list maker... Mm-hmm. Recounts his top five breakups, including the one in progress. Okay, sure.
Yeah,
that's accurate.
It is. It's pretty like bare bones. It's like this pretty, is the movie.
Pretty seriously, like boop boop boop.
Yeah.
Okay. So let you talk first. What was your main review of this? If you have, you can get started.
I mean, I think for me right now, it's nostalgic because I lived in Chicago and I watched it at this time, and I was going through a breakup.
Did you know where this record store was?
No, but I
was wondering. I
was looking.
I
knew the streets that it was on, but I don't think I've been. Chicago's a big city.
It is. Yeah.
And it was just neat to see the L and kind of go back to that time.
Yeah.
When I do feel like time was a little bit more simple and simplified, like landlines were a thing.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I think I was drilling down a lot into the details, but I did enjoy the fact that there's like top five this, top five that. Because to say one is tough. Like, what's your number one thing?
Oh, yeah. I would not
be able
to answer that.
I thought it was a very easy movie to watch.
Yeah.
Very easy movie to watch. Mm-hmm. Kind of cheesy at times, but fun. It's very of the genre of the time, I think.
It is. I mean, they're making mixtapes in this movie, which is like, that is not happening. I mean, I'm sure there are some people making mixtapes because now things are back. Mm-hmm. Tapes are back. Even the record stores now are selling tape cassettes. And that's nuts to me. Like, I can't believe that you can buy them back now and resell them.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
I didn't know you could do that.
It's happening. Yeah, they're back.
I have all my cassettes.
Oh my God.
You
could probably, if you didn't want them, a record store would take them. No, keep them.
I love them.
Oh, I'm so glad you have them.
I do. I found them. I have.
That's amazing.
Vanilla Ice's single in the little.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I got Young MC, that one. And then I have my mixtapes.
Nice.
So, yeah, nice. I mean, I think
I love
that in all, like, the movie is easy to watch. It's up my rom-com kind of avenue, which I like.
Right.
And it definitely took me back. I did notice some of the nuances of people riding on the L without earbuds in. I don't know if you noticed. I tried to pick up on some of that stuff.
I know. It really is pre-cell phone era, like the way the smart screen phone era. I think, when did they actually come out? Because they're not using them in this movie.
No, they weren't until...
So it's still flip phones, things like that.
I had just gotten my first cell phone for work. at that period. Because I was.
But was it a flip phone? No. You mean like this kind of?
I didn't
phone.
Get my Razor phone. No, because then I had a BlackBerry.
BlackBerry.
But that wouldn't.
Well, there
have
is that scene where Ian has the beeper.
The pager.
Yeah, the pager.
That was a big deal. I remember because they had pagers when I was working at Ernst & Young. And I lived in Chicago, worked at Ernst & Young. That was the beginning of my, so I said my second
semester. So it's like
semester.
Your first real job.
It's my first real job, first big city that I lived in, other side from Paris when I lived there and studied abroad.
That's
but
cool.
Chicago was awesome. It was such a great town.
That's awesome.
But I remember when I moved out to San Francisco the following year, my friend had a pager. One
pagers.
Of my managers.
I always thought those were for the drug dealers.
Yeah.
Boop, boop,
or the
boop.
Little
meet me in the corner.
Consultants.
Meet me behind the store. sorry, I don't know why I thought that.
No,
I never had a beeper. I never had a pager.
I didn't either.
I didn't
have a flip phone until I went to architecture school.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I thought it was a good movie. I think it's easy to watch.
How does it relate to you with what your relationships? Or should I say a little bit about this movie?
Why don't you say a little bit about this movie?
And I remember hating it for the, not hating the whole movie, but I actually didn't like it a lot on this version. I hate the talking to the camera thing.
Okay.
I don't know why. Listen, John Cusack, you're awesome. You can do it. But it bugs me. Huh. Like, I was kind of like, can't we just have him talking to other people doing this? Like, it just felt like when they break that third wall like that, and it sometimes works in movies a little bit, but I really struggled with it. I have to tell you, I was like, this is like making me feel uncomfortable watching him talk to me. Like, I'm like, oh, look, now we're at the bar with him. And I honestly, I'm like, am I your friend or what am I? Like, you're talking to me like I know you, but I don't like you actually. Like, there was a lot. And I will say, this is just, we can get into like the themes around this and talk about ourselves a little bit, but I really didn't like this guy. He's kind of a jerk.
Mm.
What did you think?
I actually liked the fact that he talked to us and like,
okay,
the camera.
So this is good. Cause
so
I don't know why
it bothered
me.
It brought me into like being like, yeah, I'm your friend and I'm part of this journey with you because the way things were just the whole story in itself
right.
Like a recount of this one guy's life in relationships.
Yeah.
What was the next question you asked?
Oh shit.
What did I think?
What did you think
of him?
His character. Yeah. Thank
I thought
you.
He was a little weak, honestly, at times. I definitely could be. And I think he played into that weakness a bit of like, I don't know how to describe this. He didn't do it for me, honestly. Like, I just don't think, I feel like he had a lot of ambition and he should have used it early on, but he didn't in this movie. Like, he just kind of was kind of like, I'm going to do this and this is what I'm going to do.
I think I have issues now because of my recovery experience.
Okay.
He reminds me of a certain type of behavior, a person. Like, all I could see with this whole story was so self-centered. Like, he wants to go to all these women from his past because what happens, this is the moment of the story, he's talking to us, and really what's the catalyst for this whole thing, his girlfriend breaks up with him. Okay, so that's why we're here and why he's grappling with what looks like trying to figure out why he's had trouble in relationships. That's kind of the setup to me, which is makes sense. But really what I'm seeing is this guy has been really an egomaniac. He really is like full of himself because he doesn't really pay attention to any of the women he's with. It's all about his ego. So all he wants to clear up is why he's been rejected. But as the story goes on, you start to notice the realness of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what really happened with the last relationship and all the other relationships. And maybe guys, and this is probably just my bitch about guys getting a pass for being dicks, but like all those early scenarios, I'm like, he's such a dick here and he's such a dick here. And he doesn't even pay attention to his part in these relationships.
Yeah.
There's no recognition of, maybe you didn't get what you wanted here, but what about her?
Yeah.
Did you even think about what it was like for her? And you didn't think about it was like for that one and that one and this one. And she might have broke up with you, but why not investigate what happened with the both of you instead of just being on this like crazy ass mission to like, I don't know what, correct. I don't know, but it didn't feel it felt like it was somebody who's so hyper. It's such a typical guy that's like that too. I'm like, I can't deal with a guy like this now. I'm sure I dated plenty of these people. I'm sure of it. But that whole thing of like, doesn't go your way one time, and now I have to somehow make you feel better about yourself. Like, why don't you look at the whole picture here?
Well, maybe that's the point of the story.
Is that the
maybe
point?
That's the whole
is that
point.
He needs
is that
to he, come around?
He's coming around because he's hit a major milestone for himself and something that he actually...
He has to recognize his assholeness. So this is about him coming to terms
humbled.
With his...
He's on a journey.
I'm like, how about a little bit accountability, dude?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I do think there's the one... The girl...
Stop chasing these women down and being like, why did you break up with me? Like... What? Hi, how are you? Like, what's going on in your life?
But don't you? I think they could have had a little
more. He doesn't seem to care at all. He's just like, whatever, fuck it, I'm out of here. Like, he's just, he's on such a mission.
He's on a mission because maybe he has blinders on, and that's like
he has blinders on. Yes. But, okay, so now you can argue with me.
Okay. So what I was going to say,
I did get a little crazy with that.
That's okay.
Sorry, John. I like you.
Yeah, he's a great actor, and the funniest thing is that I keep all of the like. If you think about the themes, like when he's upset, it's raining.
He's what outside. Was up with the rain?
There's
Thank
lots
you.
Of rain.
There's a lot
and
of rain.
Like
I'm
sunshine.
Like, are we back into the movie? What's the movie?
Say Anything.
Say Anything.
Yeah,
like, are
like,
we
he's
back
outside
there?
Again in the rain?
Yeah, where he's recording himself. He's
like,
it's raining.
The themes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, he's bringing it back.
I think
he was involved in the screenplay too.
Dramatic. Over drama.
Yeah, and how old do we think he's supposed to be? That's what I was wondering.
Late 20s.
That's
early
it?
30s. Well, he's had Charlie. He had Charlie in high college, and then that other girl. He's 26. He
Lily.
Mentioned 26. Lily.
Lily. Well, that's not her name. Her name is.
Oh, I forget.
Oh, shit.
Sarah.
I'll find out.
Yeah, I forget. So I just Lily think he's Sarah. Kind of hit. I'm gonna take a step back here.
No, I need to let you talk. I got it out. I had to get it out. I'm sorry.
Don't you think though that could be a normal trajectory for a male? Coming of age at that period of his life, because sometime like they
I
don't
think you're right
they hit something and they're like, wait a minute, this means something to me,
yeah,
and I need to figure out why it's not working out with all these other women, because I'm trying to figure out how it's going to work with someone, and this is the one I want it to work with. But sometimes they're not as good at the details, you know, or the like,
I guess so.
Hey, how are you, what's going on with your life,
right?
But if you were someone of those women and you get a random call, I've gotten these calls
have
before.
You?
Yes.
How
and
did you
like,
handle it?
Well, I'm always happy to hear from them. This has been the story of my life.
What did they ask? Was it like this?
No,
would they
it
ask
starts
you this?
Out being,
what did they say?
No. A lot of times they apologize because I'm like, yeah, you were in the wrong.
See, he doesn't apologize. Mm-hmm. That's my issue.
He may not have thought he did anything wrong. And then he had dinner. Was
God.
It Penny? Was Penny the one that he... broke up with? I can't remember their names. I didn't even write that down.
Oh, the one I
the
can
one
tell
who
you
didn't
I have
sleep
the cast
with him.
List right here.
The one who didn't sleep with him who really
that
loved him.
That was Penny.
Penny. Yeah, sorry.
And
I was right.
Lily's character was Sarah. You are
Sarah,
on it, girl.
Oh,
you
me.
Are on
yeah.
it.
Short-term memory.
I have full memory and I can't tell you what the fuck anyone's name
and
is.
And Laura
so.
Is the end girlfriend. But
yeah.
So with Penny, I felt like that was a pretty immature move when he just dumped her. Because she wouldn't sleep with him.
Yeah.
Because she had values and she had things she was upholding.
Yeah.
And then later when he cuts to the chase about asking her about that when they're out to dinner, I was like, that seemed really egotistical. It didn't seem like he cared about her feelings at all. But he was like, oh,
yeah,
they're
but
talking
she told
about
him too. I was like,
I know.
Yeah, fucking ain't right.
And
you
I was
tell
glad
him, Penny.
She said that.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad she said that. All of these women have called him on that though. If you think about Charlie, because Charlie's like, I don't want to have this conversation with you coming over here.
This is
everyone,
what they all do to me.
They ask
yeah.
me all these questions. I think there's, I mean, you could say like there's a midlife crisis that happens with men who've gone through this. This is what happens. Has happened to me.
Everyone get ready for them to call you.
I know.
Are you in your mid-40s? Because that's when it starts.
It's going to happen.
No one has called me.
It's because you don't date dudes anymore.
I think it's because everyone has broken up with me. So I should be the caller. No. I should be like, what did I do that you broke up with me? You were this and you were that. And that would be an interesting experiment.
It's not fun.
I could not call up my ex right now. She would be not communicative. No. I already know what happened there. But go ahead.
Anyway, well, I was just thinking that they go through it in midlife crisis, like later in your 40s. We all, I guess we do at some point. But maybe he's hitting it early because they have that thing called the quarter life crisis. And maybe he's just delayed.
What's that? I mean, what?
When you don't know what that is?
No, I passed it over.
Yeah, no, we had
made it all the way to 50 and I didn't even have to do it. Something.
It's a quarter life crisis at 25.
Oh, wow.
But, and I'm going to pair this with astrology. So typically at age 28, 29, or 30, you have your Saturn return, and that's when you have something major in your life happen. So at 25, you're like, I've been out of school for a couple years. Am I doing the right thing? And then at 28, 29, 30, something major happens. Like, I went back to grad school. I went from litigation consulting to architecture.
Hmm.
Pretty big shift. Hmm. But I also had a relationship end. And sometimes people get married, change careers, but they really figure out what their purpose is for the next quarter.
Makes sense, actually.
And if you think about it, it happens a lot. And so it's called your Saturn return, but also quarter life crisis. So he could be having one of those moments and he was like, I'm not going to lose Laura, but I need to figure out what's wrong with me.
Right.
And I think it's kind of a humbling experience for him, even though maybe he's so egotistical, he doesn't get humbled. I can't believe in some of the interactions with the record store, how he would let his employees treat the people that come in, especially the guy that was asking for the Stevie Wonder
record. Yeah, it was like
ridiculous. I was like, they thought they were too cool for school. And I was like, that's not cool. Be nice.
No, I'm telling you, it was hard for me to find a redeeming quality in him. He was so wanting to fix everything for himself. And even in the end with Laura, like he goes from like, it's all about him. It's all about him. Like, okay, I figured it out now. I want to be with you. But like, how are you guys partners? Like,
but do you think that's what women wait for?
I think it's messed up. Yes. I think that there's a lot of people out there that, I mean, it's funny. I guess it took, even for me, it's taken like a second divorce to realize what love actually is for me. Mm-hmm. And like, also, what do I value in a person? Like, what is a partnership? Because I don't think anybody teaches us this stuff.
No,
all we
don't.
Have is what we are mimicked from our parents.
Right.
And then you walk through your experiences and you try to evolve, I guess. But I don't know if I talked about this the last time, and I didn't read the whole book, guys. So, but this guy, Jay Shetty, did this book called The 8 Rules of Love. He did a book called Think Like a Monk, which I really loved.
I'll write that down.
He was a guy who lived like a monk, and then it wasn't for him, but he learned all these great qualities by living as a monk for a certain number of years. And he wrote this really cool book about love, and it's about relationships, and it's not even just about romantic love, but it's like how we don't talk about what that is and what it means to us.
We don't know.
And we don't know how to look for partners because we haven't really identified it. And people fall in love and they say, I love you. And they say, I love you. And it means totally different things to each person, but we don't discuss that. And then when things start to happen, we're so confused. Well, I thought love meant this. Well, that's not what I thought. So like, it's interesting, and you might not even be able to put words to it, but all of those things like commitment, I don't know. I mean, I've said this, I did a When Harry Met Sally podcast, and I shit all over that movie too, which I do love this movie, but I guess I can say now all I care about is really doing the work of that for me, which is like, how can I expect someone to just blindly understand all these things that are so important to me? I think they need to be talked about and they need to be discussed. And he is such a character that is so caught up in just wanting things to work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a real relationship. Like, he hasn't even questioned her about like, well, I know you said to me, like there was one meaningful conversation that happened where she said, I'm evolving and you're not. Mm-hmm. And this isn't working for me because you're here and I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like, kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, that's kind of disappointing to him. But if you're in a relationship with somebody, you work through that stuff.
Right.
You talk about it. You say like, okay, well, that's going to happen because people are going to do that. Somebody's going to totally shift and change. Pause. Go.
I have a timeout.
Go.
Okay. But we're also in our 40s, 50s.
Oh.
And we've learned all this by now.
Did you learn it? I hope so.
Yeah. But I don't think I knew it at that period of time.
Yeah, I don't
when
think.
When he's that age.
Yes. I didn't either.
I didn't know it. And I think, and I'm not disputing what you're saying. I just think that's kind of, we're catching a person in a moment in time. I think we all were like that at that period of life. Like, I know my ex-boyfriend and I could not, like, that's why we fell apart, because I traveled a ton. He was trying to be a musician. God bless him. Like, you're following your passion, but we couldn't make things work together with scheduling and other things. And I think we couldn't communicate. And I think that's a learned skill. I think today's people, kids, whatever you call them, down
the youngsters,
the youngins, I think there's more tools.
I love that. The youngins.
The youngins. There's more tools available.
You think they're smarter than us?
I hope not so. Saying smarter. Okay. I'm not saying smarter.
They're more aware.
They just have more tools. Do they choose to use them? Yes or no? That's up to them. But we have tools now, too, to understand that you need to communicate in a relationship. What the love language is, knowing what love means to somebody else.
Yes,
we didn't have that back then.
No, I didn't know anything. So we didn't know. Like, you like me, I like you. Yeah. You're cute.
Like, this is cool. Now we're like, let's do it on social media, and we're going to do it over here, and we're going to find self-help books, but not, and I am all for that, but I don't think, I'm not saying that they're smarter, we're not smart. They're just different.
It's just generational.
It's just generational. Think about our parents, you know, and like what's said, not said, and what we can talk about, not talk about. I mean, I think we're seeing something, how it probably was for us at that period in the 2000s.
Now, you're right about that. I have to give
that.
And so
now we can go back and look at it from this lens and be like, this is what you should. Well, I would do that with myself. I'd be like, no, you should have said this and that and not run away and, you know, not packed up your stuff and left architecture school the day before you had 1 year left of school. Yeah, I did that and drive back from Chicago because I wanted to do something different.
But you had to do it, though. I mean,
that's the whole point, is like you get experience that way. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that we grew up in our generation, like we were still trying to bumble through it and figure it out. We didn't even have social media and stuff like that, like back then.
Can we go back to that, please?
Yeah. And I mean, it was refreshing to see, and I picked up on this, like I love seeing the landlines and you actually call someone and then you don't know who's calling you unless you had caller ID back then.
I know,
but not
everybody
had it.
Phone, for God's
he used
sakes.
A payphone and he hang up.
They're
and
almost
they don't,
completely gone
I
now.
I love payphones. And no one had earbuds or anything on the L when they were like literally, that may
they
have
were
been
just
stays.
Bored.
They were just sitting there reading a book. But I also think they're having the shared experience on public transportation where now everyone's in their zone.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I was actually heard this is so I'm not going to do it justice because I don't even know who it was. It was obviously on a scroll or something. And some comedian was talking about mindfulness. And he's like, yeah, I grew up in the 80s. It was mindfulness all the time. He's like, when I had to stand in a line. Mindfulness.
Yeah.
He's like, I just took a regular shit. He's like, just by itself. That was all I did. I didn't do anything else in there. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
Mindfulness.
Yeah, mindfulness.
He kept saying that. He was like, mindfulness.
And that's funny.
When I had to ride the bus, I just sat and stared out the window. Mindfulness.
It's true.
But that's what you're...
That's what I was saying.
I was
everyone's
dying.
So
I was
mindful.
Like, it's so true. Like, you couldn't distract yourself from the moment.
But you also didn't have all these other moments happening in that ether. Of internet, all that stuff, like you were, could be in the moment. And I feel like that's being robbed of so many of like kids, youngins these days, even
them
myself.
And their damn devices. Staring children.
Wow, we sound old. But,
I really want to burn my phone. True. Like I say this all the time and I know I'm such a, I shouldn't say that because I know the phone is, it can be good, the social media.
It's a tool.
But I think we're all addicted to it. Like, I even admit
that
like,
we're lonely?
I can't not, it's like got us, you know? And I had a freak out yesterday, just, this is a sidebar, but I'm on my Instagram and someone's like, somebody put you, you know, like is on Threads.
Oh, I don't even understand
that. It was like, join Threads so you can see the new platform. And then it was like three other words I'd never heard. They're like, soon we'll be in the Fediverse. And then there's going to be the, and I'm like, what the fuck are they doing to us? I'm like, they've got us. Like, they're going to get us all. And then I also, sorry, really bad day. But everyone's like, you know, obviously politics are starting to be more of a thing right now because
it's
coming up.
Election year,
and I'm like, I don't know why we're voting because really TikTok is the president. It is social media. Instagram is who we should be like, literally, we don't have any choices anymore. We're just being fed everything through these social media apps and everybody's on them. And that's where all of it is being decided. Okay. It's ruling the planet. Sorry, that's just my point of view.
And there's a rant for you. No, that's a good one.
I mean, it's a good point of view. It's probably not true, but no, it's but a it's little a, bit true.
It's a little bit true. I think there's a lot of addiction that comes. I mean, studies do show that we're the loneliest we've ever have been.
Really?
Yeah. And
that's crazy.
And I think a lot of it's attributed to social media. Literally, all you have to do is get a brain injury and not have a screen, and then you will just not be able to look at your phone. I'm kidding.
Okay, I know. I know. But it's true. Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think
I know people that have gotten flip phones because they don't want to look at it
anymore. Disconnected than ever. And you think you're so connected because you're on this like shared internet.
No, but it's not real.
It's not a real
thing.
What's
real is what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. This is a real conversation. And this is why I like podcasting.
Well, and it is. It's real. And I wonder what the younger generation is being robbed of. Mm-hmm. By having all this, like having a phone as a kid on iPads, I don't know.
I'm sure there's
like
a lot.
There's so many things that I'm not an expert in, but I do know loneliness. It can be the number one. It's not the number one cause of death. I don't want to misspeak. It can cause a lot of death.
Yeah,
I know that.
I'm sure.
And that's one of the things as you get older. But it can be really detrimental.
Yeah.
To sit behind, because you're human beings. You need contact.
We do. So I guess we should talk about some things I did. Top five things I like about this movie.
Top five things.
Top five things
I like about the movie.
Number one, records.
Yes.
I love records. As you can see, I have a record player. Mm-hmm. I don't have as many as he has. Holy moly.
I love that.
That was number one. I know I had to come up with five things I like about this movie. Okay. Number one, records, record store. Number two, Jack Black.
Yes, he was so
doesn't
good.
Even matter. I just, anything he does, especially young Jack.
That was one of the first movies, I think.
I think you're right. And he was like comedy relief, you know? Like he came in and he's doing the things he usually does. So that's
great.
That was one of them. What else did I like? Number three, maybe what you just said, the no phones, the kind of the time period, being able to like sit in a movie watching experience and notice that like, oh, I remember that time, you know, where like tangible things meant something. And like, I was never a record nerd, but I love record stores still. I also will say I really loved this piece, and this is something we can discuss. I thought it was interesting when he wanted to reorder his albums by autobiographically.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Were you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. What did you think about that? What was your take
on
that?
At first I was like, wait, autobiography. I was like, what does that word mean?
That's what I thought too, but then he kind of explained it.
And I was like, that's so cool because it makes an association with something that you own. Mm-hmm. And it becomes less of a thing, and it reminds you of some time and place or memory. I think he also was just looking for something to do because I can relate to that. Yeah. When I am angry or sad, I was known for rearranging my furniture.
Really?
100%. I don't do that as much now because I don't have that much space to rearrange it, but I will clean.
Okay.
No, I still do move things. I organize stuff. I still do. I did that yesterday. But it's like a way for him to pass time.
Mm-hmm. And it's very connected to the story too, which is he's on this search through his past, and maybe he's thinking like there's something I'll gain from doing this exercise,
like
of like
an aha moment.
Yeah, and music is everything to him. Like he must remember his life through music and through songs and through all of it's so important to him. So that would make sense that would be a way he would try to also explore his history and his timeline. So I kind of liked that piece. And I guess what did I do? Four things?
That's four. Or that was three?
Maybe it was three. Unless I can say Jack Black twice now.
No, because you had the time and the autobiography. That's four.
Okay.
Time period, autobiographical, Jack Black, and he likes records.
And records. And also, I guess I will say, I like that even though I didn't love the way he was handling it, the women were pretty true. Like, I felt like the women were solid. They were the kind of, the way they responded to it was what felt authentic to me, which is not cheesy in any way. Like even Lisa Bonet's character was like teaching him like, dude, I've got your number.
Yeah.
This ain't happening again. Mm-hmm. Like she was just like, it was what it was. And she's done. Like she gets it. And yeah, I kind of liked that. I liked that piece. What did you think about the women?
I thought, Well, I can do my top five.
Yeah, first. Let's hear. Yeah, yeah, here you go. Five. Top five. Top five.
First of all,
I'm going to have to add some cool music here.
In Chicago.
I don't think I have a drum roll, but I'll find I'll find something.
First of all, I mean, I love Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's the setup.
Oh,
just
yeah,
seeing
the location. Chicago.
So I lived in Chicago 99 through 2000. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back in 2004 to 2009.
Oh, wow.
So I am like, and I have a lot of
oh my gosh.
Coming of age in Chicago. Yeah. And like life stuff.
That's
change.
So cool.
So I loved it. And to me, it took me back to that period of time and I could relate to the story. I love the last song that they end on and the fact that he comes back around to being like, I'm going to be with Laura and how important it is to make a mixtape. I remember doing that myself. Mm-hmm. Mixtapes, like you're putting thought into it. You can still do it today with Spotify.
And oh, really? Oh, like, yeah. You make a playlist.
You make a playlist. So my brother makes me
oh,
a playlist
that's cool, man.
Every year.
Thank you for that tidbit.
It's for you're welcome.
Shout out Spotify. If yeah. you want me to sponsor, send me something. I don't know.
Spotify, Apple Music.
Make your playlist.
So I just love the fact that like, someone makes something for you mm-hmm. and they put that much thought into it. So like, you know, and I connect with music in the sense of, when I lived in Chicago, I would walk around with my with my Sony Walkman.
Walkman.
My Walkman. It was yellow.
I had that too.
With the sport ear.
Oh, nice.
Sport I
remember
earbuds
those.
Or whatever they were,
yeah,
the headset.
Those are cool.
But like, you can make a soundtrack for your life. And yeah. it's like, there are chapters. We were talking about different chapters in our lives and like what's going on. And it's nice to see him come around to that point. Be like, all right, no, I'm not going to make a mixtape for this woman who does the
critics. He almost got
he almost
in.
Did. Yeah, and it was like, he you could did. See that shift in him. Mm-hmm. That's one. Two is playlists and like mixtapes. I love John and Joan Cusack together. I love Joan.
Oh, man, you're
Joan
right.
was awesome.
Joan is the best.
That one scene where she comes into the record store and it's just like, fucking asshole.
Yeah, she's
that
the
was
best.
Amazing.
I love her.
And so that's three. Mm-hmm. I love everything about Jack Black. I do. I love him. I love the Jack. I love Dick, the friend, that little Dick who's like super sensitive. And Sarah Gilbert's in it. Like, how awesome
oh my
is
God,
that?
I
she's
forgot.
The girlfriend.
Yes, Sarah
yeah.
Gilbert.
So I love that. I love
oh,
that
in, so
trio,
great.
The interaction yes. between the three of them. Mm-hmm. I do love records. I remember going, and so I guess that would be my third one. I don't have any, but I do.
Let's get you on involved.
Them. Well, so my dad has a turntable and he has records.
Oh,
and
nice.
And I've kind of told my brother that's what I'm getting, you know, you're not, but it's fine. Yeah.
you're like,
but I remember going to, there was Rainbow Records up in Wilmington. In high school mm-hmm. and then going to Virgin when I was out in California, the Virgin record
oh,
store.
Cool.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's in Virgin. It was Amoeba Records. Sorry,
wow.
wrong name, but Amoeba Records, they have the sticker and you walk in and it was like twice as large as that. And just there's something about the vinyl and the covers and the tangibleness of it.
Absolutely.
And I think that all can go under the umbrella of life being more tangible back then. You touched it, you saw people, you called people, you had a phone. It's not this
virtual world.
That's
it's a virtual
not here.
World.
Yeah. And then you have this phone that, I don't know, is a 3x5 or something. No, it's an index card. But
yeah, unless
like,
you got those new Apple goggles, those new Apple.
I don't even know.
Oh, boy. I don't think it's going to take over, but when I saw the thing for it, I saw it on Apple. I'm calling it the wrong thing. It's called like,
I have to Google it.
Apple, I don't think you hit it yet. It's like $4,000.
Oh, wow.
It's like a new version of virtual reality, but they're hoping it's going to take over in a way that's like not just for games and stuff. It's like how you live your life. There's been some outings. There's been some sightings
AI.
Of people like wearing it on the subway or like walking across the street in public.
Is life that bad that you have to escape it?
It's insane. Let me tell you how scary. If you...
What is it called?
It's called Vision Pro or something. But it basically, you wear it and you can transform your whole... Everything
Apple's
you look
first
at.
Spatial computer.
Yeah, it's... You can... did you find it?
I did.
What is it called?
Vision Pro.
Yeah, if you just watch the little... Like on Apple, they have a little like, this is what it's what, the demo. It's just, it's, they're like, you know, they look like virtual reality goggles, but you can do a lot with it. Like,
so how do you make your apps work? Do you blink?
No, you can. So anyone, look, everyone's going to buy this now. Go buy it. It's $4,000. You
Apple,
put them on,
we need a sponsorship.
You put them on and like, say you're in your house, you put them on and you see your house. Mm-hmm. So your first thing, you just, it's where you are. And then you can like, you do this in the air. So you're like pulling up the apps, and then
it's like Mission Impossible. You can put screens long time ago
in your house, wherever you're walking around. So you can have like,
oh, hello, Avengers,
like computer scene. And then you can also have apps floating around. You can like watch a movie and make it like as big as the room and have like amazing sound coming right here, like surround sound. You can, apparently you can call people and other people have it. They like, it's like they show up and they're right there. It's like a virtual version of the other person talking to you. You can also decide, like, say you live in your house and you work out of your house, but you hate your apartment. You can decide you want to be on the beach in Hawaii, and you just pick a setting. And now you are literally, it's not like it's this, it's like 360 around you. You're like sitting in a totally different place and you're working your computer or whatever you want to do.
So they're trying to take away our ability to have imaginations, be creative, and connect with others.
I don't really know. It's kind of frightening. I'm telling you, like, no, I'm that sure,
is, to me, it's kind of scary.
It's scary because I don't think it's applicable. Like when I saw a few posts about it, and people that tried it, like demoed it, were like, it's too much. Like, I wouldn't want to wear this thing on my face all day. Like, it's too cumbersome to like actually enjoy wearing it. So I don't think it will take off. But when they get that thing small enough where people can turn it on and off, I think, and they can...
Then we're all just going to be robots walking around.
Well, you can shoot... I mean, that's why they're saying virtual reality is the next big place to make money, the best investments, because it's going to be... If it takes off the way they think it does, we're all going to be picking our own realities and living them.
That's so sad.
But they're not real. They're not all pretend. It's apparently like that movie Ready Player One, where everyone's kind of...
I've heard of that. My brother
read that. Where you're just kind of like in your little box, and like you could be in a... You could be in, it's kind of like The Matrix too, like where everybody's just in pods, but they think they're living these actual lives.
That's also like this movie, Don't Worry, Darling. Have you seen that?
I didn't see it.
It's good.
Oh, really?
It's really good.
Okay, I have to check it out.
It's a similar vibe.
Yeah.
I think that's sad. I do.
I'm scared of it personally. I was like, I'm ready to get back to that time, 2000. Take me back. Records, like
landline records.
Unless we have a revolution that's like everyone burn technology,
someone's in front of you because they're physically there,
and we get back to like actual things, like not just all of this virtual stuff that's not
some of that for connecting, like if someone's living far away, but I don't
need
for altering your reality. If your reality is that bad, maybe it's time to make a change for yourself. They're taking away the work that we do as human beings, like imagination, sitting outside and thinking,
absolutely,
being mindful on the bus. Just those things of that make us human and less robotic. That's what we're given as at birth, you know?
Totally.
Get a mind.
It's crazy.
It's sad. I don't know if I agree.
Well, don't worry about it.
It's all right. Not in my generation.
I think we're lucky that we'll still get to choose.
Yeah.
I could see it being used for like medical field, like maybe people that are stuck and they can't go where they want and they need to think they're somewhere else, or you can use it for maybe there's ways to apply that so people have a pleasant experience.
That's called meditation.
Oh, but I mean, like if you're having a procedure and you like want to pretend not be, I don't know, I'm imagining there's got to be ways to use this for like,
I'm sure there's good ways to use it for good and not
but
evil.
But we did just fine up until now. Like forever, people have done pretty okay. Like
I think we're still pretty okay.
Like why do we? It's all about the. It's the dollar signs, man.
Well, it's something. What's new and what's different? And
yeah. It makes me. I'm just gonna say it. I haven't seen Oppenheimer. And I know that movie is like same concept in a way. It's like to me, which is. We have really brilliant people that can create amazing things with things, like whether it's technology or math or algorithms or, but the thing is those people have no idea where that is going to be used. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happened with social media. Like they came up with algorithms and all these things, and then they applied it to sell us shit and make us all spend as much time as possible on the screen. But the person that invented it, they just invented something.
Right.
They didn't know how it was going to be applied. And I'm sure that's the same thing with the movie, is like they were making this thing, but they had no idea what the outcome was going to be of it. Brilliant people coming up with amazing things. Mm-hmm. And then there's, what about the consequences? Like, where's the ethical part of these things?
That's a good
I don't
question.
Think ethics are being involved when it comes to what's being created with technology right now. No one's thinking about that piece.
No, I don't have
much. I wonder if there will become like some laws against that. Like, you can't just...
Aren't they trying to?
I don't know.
Regulate
I don't know enough, don't know. Everyone. I'm sorry. We went completely off the topic of the movie. We
were supposed to 2000.
I thought we were supposed to talk about relationships. Yeah, we didn't even do that.
We haven't been there. But with the women, I do like the women in the story. They're all very different, actually.
Yeah.
They're all very different. And I can see how each one is like a different relationship. Leads them down something different. I don't know. Laura's bangs.
Right? Laura's bangs.
I mean, that was the first thing I said.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Those bangs. I was like, my first thing. Note. I was like, those bangs.
Oh, yeah, what are your other notes? Let's see what you have.
Top five memorable breakups. Smoking.
Oh, your breakups.
My breakups?
No, or just in general.
No, just
breakups.
In general that he said that. I said J. Crew sweaters. He had that J. Crew sweater on.
Oh, wow.
Smoking, because they smoked everywhere.
Smoking.
You know, a lot of smoke.
A lot of not vaping, but smoking.
And then he talked about the unbearable lightness of being, how he read that book. I remember that being a big deal. And I love Dick. I mean, Dick is hilarious. It's the sweet man from his store.
Yes.
He says I'm basic. Yeah. I said the elevated, no headphones, reading L.
How did you, can I ask personal, like in terms of looking back on your relationships, would you,
Springsteen.
What could you gain from an exercise like this?
I think, I think I've done this.
Ways.
Like, not done it, but I've definitely, during periods, gone through and looked at what happened with relationships, who I hurt, how I hurt them, and vice versa.
Yes.
And reached out to kind of put some balm on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're older now, and it was always very helpful. Because I think there's a lot to be said. There's a reason why you liked each other in the beginning. And you're these human beings who like each other, and the relationship itself didn't work out. Doesn't mean that you're bad people, either one.
No, that's very true.
So I think you can learn a lot about yourself in that capacity if you're open to it, and then you are humbled by the experience. Maybe he's not. I definitely know there were times when I was very immature.
Yeah.
And like didn't know, because if we think back to those times, we're in our 20s and you don't know what you're doing, and we didn't have the tools to really help us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would react to stuff. I own that. But
were you like, I'm jumping in, but
go ahead.
Were you a person that was the breaker upper more, or like, were you the one that was like, I got to get out of this? Or how did, did you go through different things?
Let's just think about that for a second. So I had a serious relationship early on, like through college and into my 20s. That I don't know who was he ended up ultimately moving on to somebody else. But at the same time, it kind of needed to end, because I was like, I need a break from it. But he'd also done that too, back and forth. And I think it was like, we need to just move on. And then I haven't really had a serious relationship since.
What would you consider a serious relationship?
For me, something that lasts longer than like 3 or 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, or longer than that.
Okay.
And have I been the breaker up? I think I chose not to really date when I went to architecture school, because it was like so important and I had no time. I've been both.
Yeah.
I've been like, no, I'm not interested anymore. You're lovely. And then I've also had my heart bruised.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think I'm finally at a point with the most recent relationship where I can see the person for who they are. And I recognize that they're able to know where they are. And I think that's a huge thing. I don't think we had those tools when we were in our 20s.
Yeah.
I'm 46. He's going to be 50. Different people.
Totally. No, I have to totally agree with that. Yeah.
And I would never want to. But the worst part is when you kind of know it's not right and you just don't want it to be over. And we're like, it's too fun. Or I don't know. So, yeah, I used to say like a serious relationship would be going out to dinner like twice. But
okay. Now you're like, no, it needs more time.
It needs more time.
I need to know you for a good 5 years before I think about anything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
another
thing.
How about you? What is a relationship like for you? Have you been the breaker-upper or the upper breaker?
I feel like a lot of people have dumped me, to be honest.
Aww.
But that's not totally true, because I think I've sabotaged relationships. Like, I will... I don't know. I think there's been pieces where I kind of, or I'm just manifesting the breakup and the universe somehow meets me in a place where I have said this before, like where I know I'm not going to be able to do the breakup, and somehow perseverating over it and thinking about it, sometimes it just happens. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I just actually just, you know, it's over. Wow. Yeah, I didn't have to do anything, like somehow, yeah. But maybe that's because they sensed it, or like I was behaving in a certain way that it was obvious. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, like, the sadness to me, and like, even if I go back to my first marriage, was with a man. So mm-hmm. my kid's dad, I just, like you said, we were kind of young and we didn't know how to do that. And I think a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. That's why you see divorces, is because we were in our 20s. We kind of dated for a long time. I graduated grad school. Mm-hmm. He proposed. We got married. I was like, I guess we have kids. That's what people do. Just following along with the societal norms. I have to tell you, I don't even know why I wanted to do any of those things. I didn't even really think about it. Had the kids, and then all along that time, it was just like we could not mesh. Like it was like, I mean, in some ways, he kind of reminds me of like a mashup of all these characters, like Ethan Hawke and John Cusack.
Oh, Ethan Hawke, yeah.
I mean, all of them. Just slam them all together, because he was a combination of thinking, you know, how you think you're going to want. And the thing about marriage and kids, I will say this, is especially then, if you haven't experienced it yet, you really don't know what it is.
No, yeah. I guess.
And so everybody has to take that risk at some point. If you're going to decide to do it, you just throw the dice. And then it was like, oh my God, we're terrible at this. Like, you don't want to be here ever. I feel like I'm parenting alone. And somehow you're depressed because you're, you know, like men going through that, where I was mm-hmm. watching what I thought was him not satisfied, never satisfied, always looking for an escape, like not really ready for what we decided to do. And then we couldn't make those two things meet. Mm-hmm. It was this like constant battle. And I just felt like, what did I do? Like, did I do this too quickly? Mm-hmm. Should I have waited to have kids? Like, I don't know, but we had kids, it happened. Mm-hmm. And now I'm fully in it, right? Mm-hmm. So that was something we didn't have the tools, like you said, the tools to even make that even evolve. And so what happens? We split. Mm-hmm. I think now if I'd had better tools and understanding of like what it is to really be in a relationship, that could have been salvaged on mm-hmm. some level. I think it could have been. I don't think we're good together, but I don't know. I don't know if it's so much you don't know. Cause
there's
like
a lot you don't know.
Think about people that have been with each other for 30, 40 years. I mean, tell me they still like each other the same way they did in the first 2 years. I mean, you can't predict.
You can't. Well, I did take a class on human bonding, actually. It talks
oh, really?
About relationships. Yes. The
what
first 2 years.
What did
it
tell
you? Well, it was funny. It was my senior year of college. And
oh, wow.
You literally, there's like stages of a breakup.
Uh-huh.
And they go through the whole limerence period where it's like, I'm in love for 2 years. And then that's when that starts to dip.
Yes.
The caregiver relationship starts to evolve. And that's where you shift. So there's also something, and I might misquote it, but there's reasons why people stay in the relationship. Like, even though you think men are out to spread their seed, they know they're better with one female because she's so limited in what she's going to give them. So it's kind of counterintuitive. So they'll stay with you for about like 4 years.
This is crazy.
No, but this is what they, this is a
okay,
psychology
let's
class.
Hear it.
So
no, I
want to
hear it.
It says the amount of time it takes for a child to be able to be on its own, like age 4 or something like that, which is not really true, but like that the mom.
It's really funny. But then take this spear and go live your life.
No.
You're ready to face
quoting,
it.
But like, I remember taking this class and they go through like, so in your head.
Sorry, that's funny.
No, because they have the 4 years. Most breakups are 4 years.
Wow.
And 7.
Well, it's like the 7-year itch, right?
Right, 7.
I feel like both of my divorces happened 8 years and then around not like around that time, like, that was that movie, The 7-Year Itch.
The
like something happens where mm-hmm. you just hit a plateau and people are like, maybe in the old days people didn't do that as much because they were like, well, marriage is forever.
Well, they also didn't live as long.
Yeah, but I think they valued marriage differently. Like, it was like, we decided this, so we got to suck it.
Well, your dad gave me a goat for you, so that's what it was.
I mean, you went really far back.
Well, that's what I don't know how
far
back
you're
going.
I just mean, like, my parents who, like... had Catholicism and guilt, enough guilt that they would like ruin everything and God would hate them.
Catholicism. So,
but isn't that a lot of people from back like the 50s?
Not everybody. Maybe no, you're right. I'm Quaker.
Oh, okay.
They
sorry.
Were around then too.
Did you have guilt? You
My
guys
school
don't have,
is 275 years old.
I'm so glad that you didn't have the guilt that they had.
No.
It's good.
No, I mean, I think people come at marriage for different reasons.
No, you're right. You're
different
right.
times yeah. and different things. But I can't speak from experience because I haven't been married yet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I haven't had children. And I think also there can be a reframing and people thinking, okay, I have. They put so much emphasis on having a marriage and having it last and all this
I
stuff.
Know.
Well, okay, so it ended. You got divorced. Well, maybe put the emphasis on. I'm not saying you, but
no,
the fact that you had a marriage. How wonderful was that? And you got
I mean,
married
you're
to
right.
someone.
Yeah, that's true.
Not only once, but twice or three times. Hey, that's fine. Not saying that's a good or bad track record. But I think the lens that we look at in it now
yeah.
is different. And because we have to be a little bit more open to how relationships are and evolve mm-hmm. and how individuals evolve. Like the whole back to the movie where she's like, I'm evolving and you're not. Maybe it's just at different times. And that's people decide to stay together because one evolves and the other one catches up. And it's just, you decide that. It's a decision.
Yeah, I agree.
Know? And it's a decision. And yes, you love the person. And love evolves and changes over time.
Yeah.
Especially from my human bonding class. It goes limerence and then it goes
caregiving. Yeah, tell me a little more.
Well, that was one of the biggest things. But also bonding. Like when you're in your head and you've decided you want to break up, the breakup's already starting to happen. And then as soon as you verbalize it, it starts to really happen. And then we would watch people break up in class. Happened to me.
Wow.
And then we only broke up for 24 hours and got back together. But still.
And it's also like, why do people break up? Like, what is going on that it's suddenly, isn't working?
I don't know. And what does working mean?
I don't know.
How does it
think that's the problem. There should be classes in this. For all young
Everyone
people.
Everyone should take a human bonding class.
No, I'm not
but
kidding.
But it's true.
I'm really not kidding because if you look at what people, I mean, I've said this many times on this show and I hate that I'm repeating, but like where do women, I think especially women, where do we get our ideas about romance and love? And it's Disney movies to start. It used to be. And it's all baloney. It's not about, oh, the prince has chosen me.
I know. And you're chosen.
You know, and you're chosen and it's this thing and like, men are always on the opposite side of that, which
choosers.
Is like the choosers or like, oh, the ball and chain. Like they're, you know, when they finally settle down, there's always these like jokes of like, well, I guess they gotcha. You know, like that's not really what they want. Like they're kind of sacrificing themselves to be.
And that's so sad.
And that's bizarre.
Because what if you're one of the other, like you want to settle down and you're male? And you want to have family and you want to have kids.
Absolutely.
And like, how come that's not as supported or was in our
I mean, I do think it's changing because so much has changed because identity has changed and roles have changed. And whether it was now it was the straight thing and now it's like nobody cares.
Yeah.
I mean, they really don't care. I mean, dating women, dating men, dating whoever. I don't even they, them, whatever. So like none of that seems to even. It's not even in the same ballpark anymore.
No, it's very different.
It's a totally different thing about why people connect and what they can, the reasons they connect. It's so different than the way it used to be. But I do think there isn't enough education around relationships. And
well, and if there isn't, when are you supposed to start that? Like what age, you know, things like that, those
like
things come into question because that's
like
not when they do
school.
Sex ed too.
Yeah. I think middle school. Cause that's when kids actually start to like
notice.
Yeah. And I have a boyfriend, a girlfriend and like they start.
I had one in first grade.
Did you?
We were fast class.
Wow. What did you do? How did you know?
I had a long-term boyfriend from first to, yeah, I did.
How did you know?
Because he was my
like,
boyfriend. We
like
passed notes.
Other.
We passed notes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty funny. That's
and
cute.
And then we would go in fourth grade or middle school, same boyfriend. We would go.
Should
ice
we go
skating.
Back to that one and
I
ask
I don't
want to
go back to that. No, do not do that.
I mean, your list would go way back. Number one.
They've been recycled.
Oh, so that one came back around. Hey, that's kind of a good. You had to really figure it out with that person.
Yeah. I didn't have to figure out much. I figured it out early on and it just kind of stayed the same. But I was.
You wanted to give it another try.
I always believe in the benefit of the other person, the benefit of the doubt and the good in that person.
Of course.
No matter what. And if I've gone back that far with that person, there obviously was something. And they're not a bad person, but it just, quote, didn't work because he was not I can't say this on air.
Don't say it. I'll bring in some other topic. Yeah. Want to talk more about me? That's fine.
No. No, well, he wasn't divorced yet, and I didn't know that. And there was a lot of things that were involved, and he's got a lot of work to do on himself. So that was a little hard for me.
I think one of the biggest things that, like, even just this Jay Shetty, 8 Rules of Love, whatever.
Does he have a 2-year-old?
He has a lot of interest. They're not rules, but they're definitely like, yeah, I guess they are rules. But it's like, I think that the concept that it takes time to get to know a person.
It does.
And it means real time with a person. I think what is hard now is people think they know somebody from texting, from chit chat, from this fucking
especially
thing.
From like social
and
media.
You really don't know a person until you actually have spent real time hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. In person, not on the phone, not through a text, real quality time with people and having time that is valuable time, not mm-hmm. just like, I mean, I hate to say it, but like, I think that we have I'm not dissing drinking at all. Mm-hmm. I have drinks. I'm not in AA, I'm in Al-Anon, so that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I do think we live in a very big drinking and medicating and whatever culture, and how do you get to know people? Like getting to know people in bars, I mean, it's tough. I think it's tough, and I think like, it sounds boring to say, let's have a coffee or a breakfast, but like, what are the times when you can really hang out with somebody and not have it be around like what is considered the time to date somebody, like the scenarios in which people date, which are usually
isn't that as an old established thing?
I'm guessing it's still pretty common though.
Somewhat.
Someone's like, let's go have a drink.
Yeah. But now things are now touting sober dating.
Oh, is that a new thing?
Mm-hmm. It's a new thing.
I mean, I even have done that.
But I think it's fine. It's how you get to know people. And I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this just from my experience.
Tell me.
I personally love going out on a date with someone and having dinner and getting to know them that way and enjoying my food, enjoying the wine, not getting hammered or anything like that. But like that's quality time.
That's true. If they're not drinking too much.
Right. Yeah. And then like the next day or the next couple of days you go for a hike with the same person. You're not drinking and you're kind of mixing in both.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's a very real life scenario. For me, sometimes when it's too much in the like, let's hike, let's walk, and there's no romance, I can tell right away, you know. And I think
there has to be
element of romance.
Something,
So
or there's always that initial like spark of the reason you're interested in the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like no.
And I'm like no.
You know, I talked about this movie. I wish I could remember it now. It was so weird. I think you would love this too. We should talk about this one.
Wait, what is the other one? The Tourist.
It was called,
No, there is an interest in, I do think there is
it's
a spark.
Drive me crazy. I'll think of it.
Been a little flatlined on the spark because sometimes sparks don't lead to anything.
Totally.
They just go away. Yeah. I keep thinking there's a cat outside and it's just like your thing moving.
I do have 2 cats. They just hide.
Okay.
They're just scared of people. So they go upstairs.
That's fine. Yeah. But I kept thinking there was a cat and it's just your blanket moving in the wind. Yeah. I do think there's an initial attraction. But it may be something that you're just interested in their mind and like having a friendship and conversation with them. And that for me, sometimes that's all I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's like a romance. It's a different, you can tell there's a difference. I can't explain it. And I don't think we have to explain it.
No, you don't.
You know, because I think everyone who would be listening to this or has been it understands what that feels like. That's why you get friend zoned versus like not friend zoned.
I hate that word.
I hate that too.
I don't think I've been ever friend zoned. No, that's not true. I have.
You have.
When I dated guys,
Well,
guys are more quick to friend zone me. I don't know. Women are confusing.
I don't date them. Oh, no.
I mean, I don't know. You don't know. Well, first of all, you think you are in the friend zone and then you're like, what? Because you don't really know.
Yeah.
Like I always told, I remember when I first started going out and I was going to look, you know, date women or whatever. It was kind of awkward. And it's so confusing.
But doesn't that go back to the whole When Harry Met Sally comment about men and women can't be friends? Because women, men always want to sleep with them.
I don't think that's, you mean like for lesbians or for same-sex men and women relationships?
And friend zone.
I wonder about that.
I think they can be friends.
I would hope they can. I mean, I will admit I had guy friends back in the 90s and they were all secretly in love with me. I found out at some point, which was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't good. You know, like I'm just torturing you somehow. That's like, just... so that didn't, I found that to be a bit of a problem for me. I don't know. Cause I was like a good bro, but then it would always shift. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Maybe cause I was so young then, like maybe mature relationships. I have guy friends now, but sometimes it's the whole, like, you're not really in the playing field. So they don't perceive me that way.
Yeah. Maybe that takes it out of the
question. It could. Yeah. It could be. Yeah. Possible.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the whole, like, you're my friend. And then all of a sudden they're not. They're more interested in something else.
Oh, and they didn't tell you that to start.
They didn't tell me that. And it gets to be a very uncomfortable situation. That's really annoying. Yeah, it's not fun.
Oh, man.
Because I tend to, I know that I enjoy friendships.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm okay with being a friend of somebody who's of the opposite sex. But sometimes they aren't. But that's
the endless age-old question.
Age-old question of Harry met Sally. But I do think, going back to the movie.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up. We're like over an hour. We're just talking. Yeah, yeah. That's okay.
Very nice, though.
No, and I think maybe we talked all over. We kind of went all over the place. But it's a good movie topic. I mean, I think I'm in a stage in my life where reflecting has been a big part. Mm-hmm. You know, looking back and... sometimes you do that. You have to like go, okay, well, how do I put the pieces together here? Like, is what can I gain now since all these things have happened and try to find value in them?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a good piece. Yeah. And I like that idea. I like that idea in the movie where it's, he's willing to look back and see what happened.
Because I think if he was so much of an egomaniac, he wouldn't take the time to go back.
That's true. You know, we have to give him that.
And he
would
be like, I'm fine and she doesn't need me and I don't need her. I just think that something about Laura has humbled him to a point of like, wow, I'm hitting a spot in my life that I want to know. I want to know why these didn't work out, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so, I think I respect that in him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, didn't have the tools. But he did it the best way he could.
So you don't really need the tools. Sometimes life just kicks you in the ass a bunch of times, and then you get there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the tool.
Yeah, hopefully you get there. You're being the tool. Do you feel like you're being the tool?
I definitely feel like I've been the tool before.
What are the top... let's do this one end, and I'll say a few things too. What are the top five things you've learned about love and relationships? That's a hard one, I know.
God.
Or just... this is off the cuff. From all the relationships you've had, like, what are some of the biggest lessons you've gained from all of those things?
Well, I think communication is huge.
Yeah.
Communication and honest communication, whether or not it's not always easy to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can have respect and it can be hard to swallow and be like, oh, that was painful. But I'd rather know, and that person's being brutally honest with you, and I'm being brutally honest with them. So honesty, top five, is like kind of really the best policy in communication.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm still single, so I haven't really learned much. I'm kidding.
That can't be true,
no,
though.
No, I know. I'm thinking about the other person is like a being and an essence. I do this, and like what I say or do, how it impacts them. In their heart and feelings, like, and trying to know when to push pause on something, take a time out and digest and say that to someone else. Like, I know that it's, again, back on the lines of communication, but you can be in an argument and that person is coming at you or you're going at them. And I know myself well enough to say, hey, like, we're having this conversation. I need to put a pin in it and give me some time to digest this so I can come back to it and have a conversation.
That's huge.
Cause I know myself that way. Cause I get either, I can't say anything, I don't know what to say, and everything just goes like blurry, and I'm like, okay. And then I have everything to say afterwards.
You just need to take a minute.
I just need a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're worth it. Relationships are worth it. And I love my relationships, as large of a term as that is. And yeah. I think that can be broad. It's like, I work hard. They do take work, like to stay in touch, to think about the other person, to, you know, and I would want someone to think about that for me as mm-hmm. well in a romantic relationship, but also in my friendships. And it's reciprocal.
Absolutely.
Reciprocity is huge.
Huge.
Huge. Huge.
It takes work, not just romantic relationships.
Any relationship.
They all take work. I agree. Yeah.
And they're worth it because we're humans. And I think that that's, we're here for some reason.
Oh, there's so much to gain.
Mm-hmm. And I think for, I guess that's like four-ish, five. Is that like, sometimes they are just what they are and they're meant to be fun.
Yeah.
And we don't have to analyze everything.
That's, ah. Oh. You know, there's like an applause button on here. Let's just applause. Just like, ready? Yay!
Good.
I used the little soundboard, guys. Wait, look, again. Oh, yeah. Oh. Worth it. Okay. Sorry, that was funny. I guess I have to, you know, it's funny. I think my answers would be the same as yours, which mm-hmm. I think that I was going to say exactly that. Top number one thing for me, communication. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, when I say communication, I really am talking about myself because mm. I don't think I've communicated well. I think that I thought I did. I think I have learned how to speak up and learn how to use my voice and be honest and share what I'm thinking and feeling, even when I'm scared mm. and letting the pieces fall because I would withhold out of fear. Mm. And that would keep me locked in places where I wasn't probably showing up as a true person. And it's just so interesting when you start, and you know, you do have to look at the whole thing, but like I had to start looking at me a little bit more and going like, okay, well, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how am I showing up? And yeah, I've had to learn that. And then, that's a big one. Number two, let's think. God, I feel like I'm right along with you.
I just thought of another one.
Did you?
Yeah, but I'll let you think.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to think. Biggest things I've learned. I think it takes time. That's one of the things I've already said. I think mm-hmm. getting to know somebody takes time. I think it's okay to take time. I think, so that's number two. Spend time learning about who people are and not just... And that means I have to do the same, which is be authentic,
mm-hmm.
be true, show, don't try to impress so much. Don't be anybody else for somebody else. Just be who you are and be unapologetic about that. And not in a nasty way, just in a way that's like, yeah, actually, I'm like kind of like this, you know, like, sorry, this is who I am. Just so you know, you should know the full situation here. And then like if, and then you have to let go because that's all you can do. And just really wanting to, I want to get to know people now. I used to take them on such little information and then I would be, and then I just thought, and then I'd be so surprised when something would happen.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, what? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, but I should have seen that. Or you know how when people talk about the red flags?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I really
love me some red flags.
Yeah. And so have I. I think a lot of people don't, and that's just because we don't, we base a lot on like, you know, you have good feelings. Like you said, there's that initial thing that happens with people and it clouds over so many things because
mm-hmm.
we're just in that little like, ooh, I want to get, I only see this little piece and it's so pretty and it's so amazing. But that's not humans. We're all full of shit. We all have, I mean, we are, we're not all like floating around like fairies. No, like we have real things.
And there's a beauty in that.
There is.
And I think that being able to let your guard down enough to be exposed, to be seen for that,
mm-hmm.
takes that little like amazing part of when you're getting to know that person and it can make it even bigger.
Totally.
You know, when you're just like, yeah. this is me and all my stuff. And like somebody else is accepting of that, your friends, your family. And it's just like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. And as I'm saying this and hearing you, like, this is the same thing with friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Same rules, same things, like communication, be authentic, spend time with people, mm-hmm. even your friends.
Yeah.
It's like spend time with people if you want to get to know them and have like the relationship build or have that actually turn into something bigger than what it is in the beginning because right. it does need time. And also the third thing I've learned, I'll say this, is like it's okay to not know. Like mm-hmm. I think I would feel like I had to go one way or the other. I mean, I'll be honest. I think that's probably why I got married because it happened so quickly second time. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, like we're, mm-hmm. you know, like I didn't, I now I would have been like, okay, this is we're in this, but like, this isn't the time. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't a good time. Like, I don't feel ready for that. And it's okay for me to say, I need more time, or like, I don't have to make a decision. I felt like I always had to make a decision one way or the other.
Society is
kind of that. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this to like say people shouldn't make decisions, but like if you're not ready to make a decision, I don't think you have to.
Well, and that's making a decision.
Oh, right.
In itself, it's just fine.
Oh my God. Sorry, that needed another applause. That was a good one. Yeah, so don't make a decision if I don't need to, and I'm allowed to do that. Yeah. What were some of the other ones you said? So that was 3, 4. Yeah, it's okay to have things not work out. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Like, there's value in those relationships. Find the good in it. It's okay. Life is about risk. Life is about taking the hit sometimes.
Well, and you're learning about yourself. They're learning about themselves. Mm-hmm. But you're learning about each other, and you grow. For whatever relationship even as a friend, you know, there's a growing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the biggest, I just came up with the last one. The last one I've learned is like, I don't have to fit into any kind of like rubric of society and like what I was brought up in. In some ways, like I could meet people and they might be like, oh my God, 2 divorces. Like, that's a lot. I'm sorry. I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, this is just my life. Like, why does that have to be a negative?
Well, I was going to say, when did that become Webster's negative as like dictionary? Like,
I don't know, but it's something about the whole thing that we're brought up in, which mm-hmm. is this idea of what's a good relationship. If you're in one and you're not. And I also think there's a lot to be said for people that aren't just being alone. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, mm-hmm. what is up with women that they have, their worth is attached to that? That whole idea of like, oh, remember it used to be the spinster,
God,
like put me in a rocking chair and,
but I think
stick me by the window.
I mean, it could be the same for like a man and his career, you know,
if you boil
it down to like, mm-hmm. and then you can go in this conversation about like nature and nurture, all the things that are innate in a female, all those things. But I think some of those molds are being broken.
I hope so.
I think they've shifted.
Yeah.
I think it just really comes down to what you wanted in your relationship or life, in your life. Mm-hmm. And some people don't want those kinds of relationships. Fine. It's great. Okay. Some people do. And if they don't, they may feel a sense of failure because they haven't been able to have it happen. But that might be something that's inside of them and their own definition of what they think is a successful life for them.
Yeah. And it's...
But timing is everything.
Yeah. It's also, you can't compare.
You can't.
You know, you can't like go, oh, well, what about those people? And they have this and then I have that. And it's like,
nothing's perfect.
No, that'll get you into a lot of trouble. Like, and I think in the end, it's like knowing what you value and knowing your value. And it doesn't have to be based on anything other than what you decide.
Right.
And you'll find the right people. I mean, when I've had people like kind of go, you know, like those aren't going to be the people to hang out with me. You know, like I'm like, if you can't understand all of this, then I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. But like, it's okay. Cause like you don't get it. You know, there are some people that they're living in their own little storybook lives, I guess. And they want to only hang out with people in the storybook lives.
But that's also like, we don't know what's going on in the story.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows? I think it's like a perception.
I think the gift of like having things not like having a life like I have where things haven't fit the mold, right? Because there's people that can have the life that looks like it fits the mold and then they keep up face because they're like, I have the mold. I have to show it to everybody and it has to look a certain way. But there's a gift for me of like having so much of this craziness happen in my life because it allows me to be so authentic in my life. I can't hide this shit. Like, I can't, you know, like you can't walk around and be like, I just can't. And so there's kind of a freedom for me in that. Like, I have to own it, whether other people like it or not. But that's good. I'm kind of like, great. I can't live a fake life.
Well, I think it's better to live your own. Like, I don't know. I think it's easier necessarily to be in the mold quote, per se and have to feel like you have to keep that up.
Right.
There must be a lot of stress involved in that.
I would imagine.
For lack of a better word. I think we're all just doing the best that we can. And any relationship I mean, the most important one is obviously to have the one with yourself, but it's always a work in progress. Progress or process?
Yeah.
Progress.
It's like process.
Process.
I think.
I never know. It's both. I'm progressively working on my process.
We all are.
We are. But
it's progress, not perfection.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah, it's not.
And I just remember, we all reach the same point in our life, which is we all die.
Yeah, we're all gonna
die.
Sorry, guys, we just took it right to death. If you were confused,
let's just be very clear.
You're like, I thought we were going to hear about records and John Cusack, and somehow you guys took it.
We just went all over the place.
Just took it right to death.
But if you work from that,
he talks about records at his funeral.
I know,
which is awesome. So yeah. We're still in the movie. We're still here,
and there was a funeral in the movie.
That's right. There was a funeral,
and I remember that moment of him being in the car with her and her saying, "I just want to feel something other than this." I remember that. I've remembered that my whole life since I watched the movie in 2000. It was like, because sometimes that pain of loss is so crushing, but it's like part of
sex
growth.
Just replaced it. I was like, that's an interesting one. I'm like, okay, having a hug.
I know.
I'm sorry. I get it. I think
there's something to be said for filling that void. And trying to figure out this crazy thing that we're doing is called life.
Totally.
And just move it. Like, you want to feel something other than this, and it's better than the alternative, I think, in some ways. But,
all right, I'm going to ask one more weird question.
Yes.
If there was like one record, you could only have one record, what would it be? Like an actual record. I know that's a weird question.
No, it's a good question.
Maybe it's a good question to end it, aside from the top fives.
Reality Bites.
Oh,
that's my favorite soundtrack.
There you go.
All time.
Mm-hmm. Very fitting.
This one's also a good
Please
one.
Please don't ask me
bites.
This question because I don't know.
Right back at you.
Fuck.
You have them.
I hate that. I live in the land of indecision. If I could have only one record.
What's your sign? You Gemini?
Sagittarius.
You're.
But I'm on the cusp, so Scorpio, Sagittarius. Like I'm November 22nd. So.
It just depends on what time you're born.
Oh, shit. I don't know, actually.
You need to figure that out.
That's what someone told me. One record.
Just one for now.
Just for now?
Pick a record.
Pick a record? Okay. I mean, I actually love Emily King.
Oh, okay.
So I have Emily King's newest album. It's the shit.
Cool.
It really is. I could listen to it like over and over and over again. So good.
That's awesome. And going back to Reality Bites, Frampton. Yeah. Is in both of those movies.
Oh, wow.
Baby, I Love Their Way.
Yes.
And I noticed, I wrote that down. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're good movies.
Yeah.
And for me, pivotal, Reality Bites was high school. This was like right early.
Yeah, I think I could do an autobiographical lineup of movies in my life is what I could probably do.
I think I could do that too.
Not music so much, but movies.
Yeah.
You know, the first movie I ever saw was Snow White.
Oh God, that feels bad. I feel bad
in the
now. Because Dave Matthews would be another one. But
that's okay.
One record.
It's a good like off
Reality
the cuff.
Bites.
I mean, maybe it's only because I just saw it, but I do listen to that album a lot. I mean, I listened to like Madonna's Like a Virgin on repeat.
I remember that.
When it first came out, like it was my
life.
I
remember when it came out.
I mean, that's all I would listen to, which is crazy because I think I was like 10 years old or something or 11 or something.
I remember when it came out because my girlfriends would wear the gloves and
everybody.
The boots.
It was crazy, the Madonna thing.
Madonna, Michael Jackson,
yeah.
Thriller.
I had Thriller album too. Oh, I had all.
We
those
used to
were
write
on,
him letters.
Damn, I used to listen to Grease, the album Grease from the movie.
Yes, I love that movie.
So good. I mean, those are all.
Oh,
such
here's
good
another
ones.
Thing from the movie. I know we're like going way over time, but the fact that you could call somebody and get their phone number and address, they would give it to you.
Right,
over
the phone book.
Without any sort of, there's the phone book, but call information.
Oh my
And they
God.
Didn't ask for any ID or anything. You can't do that now.
Wow.
I mean, you've got Google, but still.
No, but you're right.
People are like, here you go. Here's Charlie's address and number.
That's so weird. Man, time is just.
Mm-hmm. But this time has been good and lovely.
Yes.
And now I feel like I can.
This
watch
has been
more
so
movies.
Good.
It's been
oh
fun.
My God.
Very
You're making me want to keep doing this. So thank you for
it's
coming.
It's so fun.
Yes.
I'll do it again.
Please, anytime. I have a bunch now that I'm thinking of. I'm like, there was a movie I was just thinking about that I wanted to do. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. I hope you figured out your top five of whatever relationships, lessons learned, call up all your old exes, see what they have to say.
How about your top five most redeeming qualities in a relationship from your exes?
Yeah, figure it out. Just do the homework.
Yeah,
do play the work. Some records while you do it. Have fun. Use an old phone. All right.
Yes.
All right. We'll see if I can get another episode up soon. But thanks for listening, and see you next time. Bye. Baby, let me tell you.